Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dispensing cannabis business knowledge beyond a million square feet of cultivation space, CannabisRadio.com proudly presents Blunt Business, harvested by Strainwise Consulting. Together, we will navigate the challenges and opportunities of one of the most profitable industries on earth. Join us each episode to hear our weekly roundtables and interviews with industry professionals. Now, let's delve into some Blunt Business with your host.
Welcome back to another edition of Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. So thankful for all of you to find this program as you do through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and most notably our new home on Amazon Music, where you can also find us and all of our episodes going back to 2017 now. It feels like it's been really just a wonderful ride, and so many episodes we've gone through as we're moving ourselves into the new year coming up, 2021. My next guest works for an insurance brokerage dedicated to supporting the cannabis industry. His company's unique expertise in cannabis allows them to provide customized access to preferred insurance markets. I'm here with the managing director of Alpha Root, Isaac Bach, here on Blunt Business. Isaac, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brosco. It's a pleasure to be on, and look forward to chatting with you today.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get into the context of what Alpha Root is, a full-service insurance brokerage completely dedicated to strengthening and supporting the cannabis industry. Your team offers a wide range of liability coverages to all types of cannabis businesses, including multi-state operators, cultivation dispensaries, and ancillary niches. So fill me in on the scope and range of what your team at Alpha Root are able to do to assist.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those not familiar with what an insurance brokerage does, we act as the intermediary between our clients, so in this case, you know, cannabis, hemp, CBD companies, and the actual insurance carriers themselves. So what we do is we, you know, take a look at the businesses that we work with, analyze the areas that they have exposures. So, you know, for example, someone who's selling cannabis, you know, you have product liability issues, the grow operation, things of that nature. And then we help place them with the proper insurance markets who will provide coverage for them should anything go wrong and they're brought into a lawsuit. In addition to, you know, the actual placement of the insurance, we also do provide, you know, some risk assessment services we're rolling out over the next couple of weeks. It'll help allow our clients to kind of analyze areas or weak points, you know, that have led to insurance-related claims or just kind of workplace mishaps in general.
And just so you know, as we're recording this program, this should be published for all of those out there right before the start of the year or in the first part of 2021. So by that point, those services should be in play just for those out there. Now, when it comes to being an insurance brokerage, I can understand it from the perspective of, you know, when I've had a health insurance, you know, I have gone through brokers to help me find better insurance plans, especially when they're when we don't have the Affordable Care Act, for the most part, which we still have today. The idea is there is a limited amount of plans that are willing to take those that might have pre-existing conditions. In the same way here, pre-existing circumstances for a company that has risk that is expected from the insurance companies, I can imagine there's only so much of a bullpen to go into and ask to bring on board and have them go ahead and work with a company that you could try to bring and bridge together.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty, apt analogy, the pre-existing conditions, because normally when you look at it, a cannabis industry company is almost immediately marked higher from a premium perspective for similar coverages, as to competitors or, comparable companies in other spaces. So pretty fair point there. In terms of the number of markets, it is very limited right now. That said, on things like general liability, property, products coverage, more and more niche insurance carriers are coming out to help provide those services. Kind of where the biggest limitation right now is on the management liability side. So directors and officers insurance, which provides coverage for, as the name says, the directors and officers of the company for how it's managed. Truthfully, it's a very limited marketplace, particularly when you're looking at US-based companies who are publicly traded. So really not a whole lot of options on that front. We're working on some creative solutions currently that we hope to be able to announce sometime within the next 6 months. So definitely something that's on the horizon that we're working on because it is such a limited marketplace right now.
Now with that, is it also a fact that you probably have had, is there some controlling? Is there really a lot of maneuvering and positioning to influence some of these insurance companies to come on board? Like at this point, do you have certain companies that they're very familiar with cannabis? They're saying, it's like some banks, the banking industry is very much the same way because there's only so many banks or credit unions that are actually trying to help and do financial services in that same vein. But there are some, I know the banking industry, that they feel comfortable. There's the risk doesn't outweigh the reward or just the benefit of having that business. So I would imagine there are some companies that are much more susceptible to working with companies, and you probably bring more business to them than others.
Exactly. I mean, that's, that's spot on again. A lot of the underwriters we do partner with, who we have a large book of business with, are very comfortable with the cannabis space. They've been working in it for a number of years. Like anything else in this industry, you do see, some insurance carriers dip their toe in, have a few claims and then immediately remove themselves from the industry. But there are those companies that have been in it for the last, 5 years or so, that have been providing the same services over the course of that time. Obviously with minor iterations into coverage, just due to, circumstances of where the world currently is. I know one thing that's been, going on and with, the election and all of the potential unrest that could be happening, business interruption is something that a lot of companies in the cannabis industry are having a hard time obtaining just because of what happened with the kind of first round of social unrest. A lot of dispensaries and other businesses in the cannabis space were hit pretty hard with looting. So it's definitely something that the insurance industry in the cannabis space is quick to react by limiting coverage and not overly quick to react and providing new outlets to provide services to these companies, although that is getting better.
And just for context for listeners, we are recording this on Election Day, so bear with us if our minds are a little bit preoccupied with other things. But I think when it comes to what we could see as possible unrest in major metropolitan cities because of the election, the results that might come as we record today, one thing I think it wouldn't be as severe as what the pandemic has brought to us. So there are many legal uncertainties, unique hazards, and emerging risks involved in legal cannabis-related activities. And because I just look at where things are, that one thing, before I ask my question about this, about risks and liabilities, what kind of a percentage can you give me is the increase that is added based on a normal insurance policy for a standard business? How significantly bigger is it for a cannabis related business?
Yeah, I mean, it really does depend on what that cannabis business is doing, right? Like if you're a ancillary SaaS company working in the cannabis industry, your premium increase is going to be marginally higher. If you're a consumer goods company, meaning you actually sell product directly to consumers, your premium's going to be probably, multiples higher than your competition in other areas.
That's interesting. Why would it be the ancillary software as a service sector? It's just computer software equipment. I don't understand how that becomes a higher price tag.
It all goes back to your kind of earlier point of the regulatory risk. If there is an issue that is related to, cannabis in general, because it is federally illegal, There could be some issues brought in on, even something as simple as cyber insurance, which has almost nothing to do with the actual
thing. Oh, gotcha. Okay, because I'm just saying, for an industry that is, that's not, federally recognized as legal, the funny thing is, when you look at just which must be the easiest way to go ahead and explain to some of these insurance companies to bridge them together, is the amount of compliance and amount of accountability that's being done by all these companies and also being governed by state governments on the same vein, but yet they're still going to put a higher premium on them.
Yeah. I mean, again, it all goes back to how comfortable certain insurance carriers are with being, a part of something that is, illegal currently. I mean, that's kind of, one of the things that the industry as a whole is working on. It's changing the perception of the cannabis industry. So more and more ancillary businesses are more comfortable with being involved, which will help kind of, level the playing field overall for the cannabis industry when it comes to pricing, banking, and everything else that has to go through to continue to operate.
Yeah. So talk to me, Isaac, what are the challenges that you have when you are trying to get the right insurance plans in play, whether they've been pandemic related or not? What are some of the issues they've been connecting with you with the most when it comes to, insurance now, because they might have taken a hit financially, or in just in terms of if they're holding on to more products, say if it's a cultivator, or they're just looking to go ahead and store more wholesale product and they have to go and, guarantee shelf life, as opposed to having that product easy to go ahead and supply and it's quickly pushed out to market. That's my question, I guess. Is there anything that's, when you've talked to some of these companies, what they've asked about that they're looking for that might be a little bit, it's much more priority now these days?
Yeah, no. Again, one of the biggest issues in general for the cannabis space is access to directors and officers insurance. Because that coverage is very specifically tied to a company's financials, that has been impacted pretty significantly during COVID for areas that, cannabis might not have been deemed essential. I know some companies in Massachusetts had to hang on to product for a while, which kind of screwed up their financial situation a little bit, which made D&O premiums shift slightly. In general, the D&O marketplace, not just in cannabis, but across the insurance industry, has been getting more expensive over the last 12 to 18 months, just due to the number of claims. The cannabis industry is not outside of having those types of issues. I know a lot of the larger, publicly well-known companies have been hit with claims over the last few years as well. So that's kind of been the biggest area that we've seen financial impact. The business interruption that I mentioned earlier, not only from the social unrest, but also just having to close down your operations. That's something that, most insurance carriers actually won't cover, is communicable diseases, meaning that the fact that they had to close down due to government order was likely not covered under their insurance policies. I know some states have, filed lawsuits against that, not necessarily in the cannabis industry, but in general. So those are kind of the biggest areas that our clients have been asking us about. And then it's kind of the standard, how do we continue to grow our business across state lines? Because a lot of carriers aren't actually comfortable with covering multiple states. We do partner with a few that can, write general liability, property, and products across state lines. So as companies grow, and then hopefully as more states today, legalize recreational or medical use, it'll allow the industry to continue to grow. So that will be a growing conversation we have with our clients.
Now, unfortunately, we won't know before this recording, we won't know what the outcome is going to be of which of five states, I believe it is now, that are looking to go and become adult use or medical cannabis legal. We are waiting to go and find out the outcome of that as we record today. But probably by this time, we'll have up to around 38, 39 states that'll be having some form of cannabis that's legalized in their state, which is just moving forward to the eventual inevitability that the federal level should go ahead and address this. But we'll see about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to go and go to a commercial break. When we come back, I want to go and talk about a recent story from Politico about the overall state of insurance in the industry. I want to get your thoughts on that. I'm here with Isaac Bach, the managing director of Alpha Root, here on Blunt Business, back after a short message.
rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
I'm back here with Isaac Bach, Managing Director of Alpha Root. And if you want to go look at their website where we are looking at what they're doing, their insurance work for cannabis and ag tech companies, it's alpharoot.co. Alpharoot.co. So, Isaac, Politico recently reported on the overall state of insurance in the cannabis industry. And by the way, Politico, and shout out, let me just go and mention you guys and put a flashlight on you. When you want to keep calling it marijuana, not calling it cannabis, we understand what you're doing there, okay? It's cannabis. For the sake of everybody out there in business, you know, for, you know, websites like Vox calling marijuana pot or calling cannabis pot, we know what you're doing, okay? I'm just saying it from my own level. For the sake, you know, for the respect of the business, there's a lot of money being made in this business and a lot of respected people in this business. A lot of people that are, you know, Fortune 500 that decided to come into this business, bringing their expertise, putting their hat on, getting their hands dirty and doing the work to build this industry up. And knowing that this industry was one of the most resilient during the pandemic. So, Politico, step it up, okay? I just had to take that point. I'm sorry. Some corporate media just grinds my gears, I'm telling you. So, here's the story from Politico. Now, many of the nation's largest insurance providers, thank you for being so patient with me, Isaac, will not work with the weed industry. See, again, weed industry, look what they're doing. With the cannabis industry, because cannabis is illegal under federal law. The few liability, property, and crop insurance providers who do offer policies typically charge untenable rates. In addition, cannabis farms, I'm doing this because they keep putting marijuana every time they say this, cannot access federal subsidies for crop insurance that would cut those high costs, making the price prohibitive. And when disaster strikes, businesses in the cannabis industry cannot apply for the same federal disaster funding as their neighbors. Talk to me about the liabilities as I'm trying to unwrap being unsurly here, or surly rather, and the kind of help you've been able to offer, Isaac. Have there been any loopholes or workarounds you've been able to find?
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, in terms of, you know, workarounds, it's just kind of knowing the marketplaces that will actually, you know, understand and work with the cannabis industry. You know, kind of to the article's point, not a lot of the major carriers, you know, the household names, are operating in the space because, one, they can't. If they're publicly traded in the U.S., they're not really allowed to work with something that's federally illegal. And two, a lot of the other big name companies just don't feel comfortable working with cannabis at this point because it is quote unquote a new industry. You know, one of the things insurance in general is kind of an antiquated business that it is a little bit slower to catch up with the trends of the current world. So cannabis obviously is kind of a sticking point for a lot of carriers. You know, one of the things that we do is we kind of work with our clients in understanding and pointing to them, you know, that yes, insurance, unfortunately, right now is an extremely large line item on your balance sheet when it comes to paying for it. So it's kind of finding the right time to implement certain coverages. You know, in this article, they kind of talk about that if the crop doesn't burn down, then you're kind of paying yourself out of the hole for insurance. And while that's true, you know, if the crop does burn down, then you're kind of out of luck if you haven't bought any coverage for it. Insurance is kind of that investment that you never hope you have to cash in on. So it's kind of changing the mindset around it. Another workaround just for the cost is we've been able to work with companies that can provide premium financing, meaning that we can spread the premium out over the course of the year. So it's not a six-figure upfront cost. As long as, you know, the premium's not multiples into the six figures. So yeah. It is one of the things that you kind of have to work with your clients and understand where they're at from a financial standpoint, what matters to them most. For a lot of our larger institutional clients, obviously it's just painting the picture of what the worst case scenario could be if they don't have this. Because, you know, they might have to report to their investors on what's happened and why they didn't have the coverage in place. For a lot of our smaller clients who might not have the cash flow available, it's just understanding, you know, the risk you are taking on if you don't buy the coverage, and two, when the right time might be from a financial standpoint to implement that coverage. So it's kind of a give and take relationship on that front, and it's more of a consultative role than really just trying to push an insurance product onto them.
So I can imagine that, and there's no such thing like there would be in health insurance or in automobile insurance where there's like, you know, personal injury protection or catastrophic protection. There's no such thing as that kind of minimal type of coverage that you can have. I mean, it's either you're going to have to go and pay for a significant risk management or you can't get it.
I mean, there is some room in there. Obviously, you know, the way corporate insurance works is you typically buy in limits. So meaning for like a general liability policy, which provides coverage for third party bodily injury or property damage, meaning your product causes bodily injury or property damage. You typically buy in $1 million limit ranges. So you have like 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. So obviously, you know, you can purchase a lower level of insurance. One of the catch-22s with the cannabis industry and, you know, insurance-related items in general is the fact that a lot of contracts actually have insurance requirements in them for things like general liability for property if you're taking out any financing. So it's one of those things where if you have that in your contracts, then we work, you know, based off of that as the minimum threshold of insurance you should be buying. And then you build from there, depending on the exposure. So it is, there are ways to work around it in terms of limit structures and pricing that you can make it affordable to at least have some level of coverage. Kind of the area that does get a little bit tricky is property insurance, because there is something called a co-insurance penalty, meaning if you don't insure up to a certain percentage of the actual value of that property, there's a penalty on the payout, meaning you won't get a full payout for the loss. So there's a number of, you know, kind of nuanced items you have to take into account when you're building these insurance programs for cannabis companies.
No, I wanted to make a good point. There was a good point you wanted to go ahead and just pull out real quick, going back to liabilities. What is the level of coverage you can get? I mean, so basically that any kind of damage is covered up to a certain amount. What is that amount that's normally put out there for these kind of plans?
Yeah, I mean, the basic general liability policy starts at $1 million per occurrence, meaning for any one occurrence that gives rise to a claim, there's $1 million worth of coverage, and then $2 million in the aggregate, meaning for the overall course of that policy period, which is typically 12 months, the most the policy would pay out is $2 million. So in theory, you could have two $1 million claims or, you know, a couple $500,000 claims, and it'll be paid out over the course of the year. That said, you typically start building excess liability, so meaning increased limits on top of that, depending on the size and scope of the company's operations. Now, on the property side, you know, for large-scale grow operations, obviously those property limits can be, you know, those grow operations can be worth tens to hundreds of millions worth of dollars. So you do, you know, try to build out a full program that would cover the full value of the property. The one caveat there is the insurance capacity, meaning the underwriters and overall availability of limits is, you know, relatively limited, for lack of a better word, right now. So you do have, you know, a hard time building up to certain levels of insurance, and carriers are only willing to offer, you know, a lot of times up to $10 million worth of property coverage. And then you kind of have to work to build on top of that. So it's really kind of like putting a puzzle together when you're structuring out these programs.
Also, because of the year and how this year has gone out for 2020, has there been a lot of fluctuation in the pricing of the premiums? I mean, has it really gone up and down quite a bit? Has it been very lucid that way?
I would say, other than directors and officers insurance, it hasn't being, well, directors and officers and employment practices liability. So those two are, you know, tied to financial status of the company and then kind of hiring and firing practices. So obviously with a lot of layoffs, that leads to a lot of lawsuits when it comes to employment practices coverage. So those two have been impacted this year premium wise. I would say in general, the other insurance markets haven't been too impacted. Again, it does kind of depend on where the operation is located. You know, if it's in an area that's, you know, near where, you know, unfortunately all the forest fires have taken place, then likely those insurance premiums will go up if it's in a fire zone. So it does really depend on where the operation's located, what your operations are. But overall, I would say D&O and EPL are probably the two that have been most impacted this year by from a premium standpoint.
Okay, I want to ask you too. Now, I've also thought about the situation, and this was, I remember about a year or so back, I remember talking to one guest, and we had talked about a company that in Canada, in British Columbia, I believe it was, and I can't remember the name of the company of mine, but I remember because of a compliance issue, really just a stupid, you know, setback, they were forced to go ahead and destroy a bunch of product because of some kind of a compliance issue that I believe the Health Canada and some of the governing bodies there in Canada forced the company to go and do that because there was some kind of materials that were in the same grow room. So whatever was in that grow room had to be destroyed. In a situation like that, would that be something that could be claimed for insurance purposes?
So it really depends on, you know, what exclusions are on your policy. You know, that more or less from a property perspective is likely not going to be covered.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you are, you know, forced to destroy that. It's not by unforeseen circumstances. You know, we've tried to look into potential solutions for that. You know, obviously insurance carriers aren't overly thrilled about that. The bigger area that comes into play is on the directors and officers side. Some carriers, even though they're writing the insurance coverage for cannabis, you know, clients, they include either, you know, THC specific exclusions or regulatory exclusions, meaning that if a claim were to arise due to an issue with a regulatory body, in this case, you know, Health Canada asking you to bring your crop, you know, and the directors and officers were brought into a lawsuit by shareholders or just outside investors. If there's is that regulatory exclusion on the policy, your directors and officers are going to be on the hook. The company's going to be on the hook for those payouts. So that is kind of where the expertise and understanding the coverage that's specifically needed for the cannabis industry comes into play. You do need to realize and talk through every line item on the quote and explain to your client, you know, what each of those exclusions and endorsements mean and how it could affect coverage in that exact circumstance. Because we have seen, you know, companies that buy programs with those types of exclusions because they are, you know, they are significantly cheaper, but in the circumstance where you want your insurance to react, it's not going to. So right. It is, again, that consultative notion where you have to explain each of those items to them and hope that they understand where you're coming from and why it's in their best interest to purchase something that's actually going to react the way you want it to.
Right. One other thing before we move on from the policy side, these kind of help that we're getting, that hopefully the insurance companies will have in order to further go ahead and take on more cannabis companies in that respect. Payouts. Were there a lot of payouts that you saw from any kind of information you can gather that were made during the pandemic that, you know, was really significant?
You know, truthfully, I wouldn't say anything significant, some small payouts here and there, but, you know, by and large, a lot of the things that have stemmed from the pandemic are likely still going through the claims process, right? Getting lawyers involved, yeah. Getting claim adjusters involved. So I would say it's a bit too early still to tell. Obviously, you know, with us recording on election day, we don't know what's really going to happen with this, you know, depending on who you ask, second or third wave that the U.S. is currently in with COVID. So we'll kind of see what happens. I would say that we'll have a better idea of what the overall impact of the pandemic has had on the insurance market for cannabis companies within the next, you know, 6 to 12 months, because it does kind of have that long of a tail with, you know, the way the claims process does work.
Yeah. We're going to take ourselves to another commercial break. I'm here with Isaac Bach, Managing Director of Alpha Root here on Blunt Business. back with more questions after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
I'm joined by the managing director of Alpha Root, Isaac Bach, here on Blunt Business. AlphaRoot.co is the website. Now, we were talking before the break about, we were looking to see where our federal government can come in to intervene and help out in this situation, because we're waiting to see what happens after Election Day as we record. But obviously, we'll be well past that, and, you know, we'll be waiting to go ahead and see who's going to be coming into, you know, in Congress in terms of either senators or House representatives. We'll find out what happens there and what that change in Capitol Hill is going to make so that we can have possible movement forward towards some some legislation to help address the issue, because Congress so far, especially this year, has done little. A group of Oregon lawmakers introduced a bill in September that would make federal disaster funding available to the cannabis industry, but has little chance of passing in the waning days of Congress as we record this. Separate legislation would create better access to banking, potentially allowing some small business owners to borrow money to pay for insurance or to cover losses, but it would not give farmers access to federal crop subsidies or encourage insurers, to cater to the industry. So the thing is, we've talked about the SAFE Banking Act pretty extensively here on the program. Would that be something that would help the insurers have some peace of mind?
Absolutely. You know, we've spoken to a number of our partners who are on the legal side. So, you know, SAFE Banking is kind of one of the biggest dominoes that could fall for the cannabis industry with the, you know, increased access to capital. You know, companies are obviously going to be able to grow their business, and the cannabis industry in general will grow. This will allow insurance companies to feel more comfortable about their ability to not only pay premiums, but also cover their portion of the risk transfer agreement, which is a retention, or more commonly known as a deductible when it comes to, you know, kind of those personal lines of insurance. So I definitely think the SAFE Banking Act would be a huge win for the cannabis industry on the insurance front as well.
All right. Now, since May, cannabis businesses from Oregon and Massachusetts have dealt with both natural and man-made disasters. As protests over racial injustice, erupted across the country, so did looters. And many targeting cannabis dispensaries in cities, including Portland and Oakland, California. Then you had the wildfires that destroyed farms and spewed ash that sensitive crops from central California to northern Washington state. And many of those small business owners were facing both of these crises without insurance. Now, some advocates and industry leaders have called for state governments to create insurance or disaster funds for companies where there are legal cannabis markets, but no state has done so at this point. Others say the only thing that will solve this problem is federal legalization of cannabis. So are there any stories you can tell about the clients of fires, no pun intended, that you've been able to help put out, or that you've been able to connect to try to help themselves out in a real, where they were in a disaster situation?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, a lot of our clients have, you know, been able to avoid the claims related to the fires thus far. So I don't have necessarily any personal anecdotes. But again, you know, this kind of goes back to our earlier conversation as it relates to being that consultative role and explain to your clients how important it may be to purchase that crop insurance despite the price tag because they're located in the fire zone. So if there's an area that they're operating that there's a chance that there's going to be wildfires, you definitely want to have crop and property insurance to protect you. For some of the, you know, dispensaries that have been located in areas that have been hit by social unrest, that is more just generally covered under general property insurance. So a little bit easier to explain, definitely a little bit less expensive when it comes to purchasing. So those conversations a little bit easier to have. So I would say that, you know, those kind of things you definitely need to have in mind when you're having conversations with your client and understand where they're located, what their operations are, and how it may be impacting moving forward without insurance.
But for the most part, I mean, just regardless of what we've talked about, the ramifications of the state of the industry, for those out there looking to go ahead and look for insurance, go ahead and take a minute to talk to our listeners about the importance of, I mean, can you get away without having insurance, and how important is it to have, and how important is it to, you know, really study and research what kind of insurance your company is, whether it is a SaaS or if it is a cultivator or MSO?
Yeah. You know, I think that insurance is definitely an important aspect of running your business because it does provide that catastrophic level of coverage if you have it in place and it's properly vetted by your risk management partner. So in this case, a lot of just insurance brokers. So definitely think it's a very important aspect of running your business. But again, it is a expense on your balance sheet. So you do need to understand that, you know, there might be some areas that you don't necessarily need to purchase right away, depending on your operations, right? So to your point, if you're a SaaS company, you don't really have a general liability or product related exposure. So if you don't have an office with a lease that requires general liability, you might be able to save a couple hundred to a few thousand dollars there. If you're a grow operation and you haven't sold anything online yet, or you don't have, you know, you don't have any sort of online banking and you're not taking funds via wire transfer, maybe there's a way to get around without cyber. Maybe you only need crop insurance for 1 year, but not the next, depending on your grow cycle. So there are ways where you can kind of structure it, where you can have the insurance you need, but not necessarily pay for the full package of the insurance if that's something that you're trying to do to cut costs. So again, it really goes into having that full conversation as it relates to what your operations are and what the business owner's biggest concerns are. If they're not overly worried about their crop being, you know, damaged in any way, even though they're a large grow operation, they might decide that it's in their best interest to hold on to that, you know, couple hundred thousand dollars. So it is a give and take relationship. You can't really force an insurance product on anyone because, again, it's not, you know, in my case, it's not my money that I'm spending. Even though, you know, a lot of times you do need to point out that there is value in that expense. But at the end of the day, you have to relate to your clients, understand what their biggest concerns are, and help them feel comfortable when they go to sleep at night that their business is as well protected as possible.
Agreed. It's one of those things. I don't like it either because it's like, why do I have to pay insurance I don't use? Like, but, well, no, you have to have peace of mind. There's just no choice about it.
Exactly. It's a peace of mind investment. You really hope you never have to use your insurance that you paid for. But again, yeah, it is nice to know that if there is some sort of issue, you're not going to be on the hook personally or from a company-wide level.
One other thing I also want to make mention to you, Isaac, just on a personal level, I noticed that you're now a candidate for your master's degree in medical cannabis science and therapeutics from the University of Maryland. Congratulations on that. So how far along are you?
Thank you. So currently in my second, you know, the way that you have it broken out is there's a few modules. So we're currently in our second module of our first semester. So very early on, this program has only been around, I think this is the second year that the program's been in existence. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely cool. You know, obviously for me, working in a ancillary business role, learning more about the actual science and how cannabis, you know, works on people, you know, outside of anecdotal evidence, is definitely going to make me more knowledgeable and able to relate to our clients. And truthfully, I'm just genuinely interested in its potential therapeutics and medicinal uses, because I do think that's a safer alternative to a lot of the more widely accepted pain relievers that are used currently. So I think there's a lot of benefit from learning this information, and it's kind of nice to geek out about it a little bit.
Very cool. Very cool that you decided to go back to school, and you wanted to definitely put yourself out there. And, you know, I'm sure we could talk a lot about the curriculum and what you're, you know, what you know, just the kind of awe that you would have from what you're able to go and learn about the endocannabinoid system and just the just all different facets you have right there. We could probably put another show about this, but unfortunately we're out of time. Isaac, real quickly, before we go to wrap things up again, mentioned a website a couple of times, but let's go ahead and let listeners know, you know, if they're looking to go and look at Alpha Root for Business, what can they look for when they go to the website, and how can they also follow you and your team on social media?
Yeah, so when you go on the website, there's a lot of good resources on there. We have our blogs, we have our industry-wide white paper that kind of outlines what the insurance industry looks like for 2020. We'll be updating that for 2021, obviously. We're going to be rolling out kind of a vertical industry-specific white paper / blog series at the start of the new year. So you can follow along on the website. We put almost all of our content on via LinkedIn. So search Alfaroot at LinkedIn. And then if you ever want to reach out, the general email is info@alfaroot.co. And then I'm always available as well. You can email me Isaac@alfaroot.co. So feel free to reach out with any questions. If you just have, you know, insurance related items, want us to look over your program, we do a lot of consultative free of charge kind of reviews, so no strings attached, happy to help the industry grow as much as possible.
And just to make mention, I noticed a couple of your clients, they have been former previous guests on Blunt Business, just to make the point. So probably part of good family out there. So alfaroot.co. Isaac Bach, thank you so much for being with us here on Blunt Business. Really glad to have you on.
Roscoe, really appreciate the time, and it was our pleasure.
Hey, well, whatever we could try to do to make insurance a much more interesting subject to talk about, but we did that.
It is a bit dry, so whatever we can do. So.
Well, we've had to deal with accounting as well, and I've done that as well. It's just amazing, but it is fascinating, just some of this various aspects we should definitely learn about. So thank you again, Isaac, for coming on, and thank you, listeners, for listening to the program. We'll talk to you next time. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.